So, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to address the needs in your communities. And we all know that, you know, we have Red Rocks Community College, which is in Denver, and then we have Lavona out there. You know,
Alien College
on the plains of Colorado. You know, so there's and I mentioned this morning too. You know, one of the career coaches from the University of Alaska Anchorage, Linda Hernandez, when she was doing the webinar, she goes, "Yeah, I hop on one of those bush planes, you know, and I go out to recruit students." So there's all kinds of different profiles in this geogram of different institutions and what they address. So I'm really excited that here's a small one for you guys. So I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Sam. I just wanted to share that I belong to the ERA grants back in 3 years ago for logistics at Columbus State Community College, and I was like you. I left, but then I came back, so there are second chances.
Absolutely.
My name is Nancy Case, and my title is Community and Civic Executive Director of Community and Civic Engagement at the college. And I've been there 8.5 years, and that in this role for 1.5 years. And what is it? Well, essentially, I do whatever the president tells me. And I'm involved a lot in the community. And when I came to the college, I ran a group called Transitional Workforce, helping underprepared adults and youth get ready for college or the workforce. And this is really an extension of that work, Fast Path, and we'll get more into that. But when he was talking to the mayor, asked me to take this on. So I'm the lead, the PI, whatever you want to call it, for Fast Path. And as soon as we got a contract, and actually before we did, Keith's one of the first people I called because of what he had done with the logistics arm.
Yes. So I got my master's in counseling. I'm a global career development facilitator. I'm actually more comfortable doing classes, but I'm here.
Professional development.
So I'll do my best, but here, well, we're going to talk about Fast Path.
And just you all are called coaches. Mm-hmm. Keith is called, we call it career facilitator. And that title came 6 or 7 years ago. I was trying to hire somebody like a Keith, create that role in our HR department. But we don't have that. And I was using instructors to do that. Well, you can't have instructors do this. And so I ran up against HR and finally said, okay, can we create a new position? And negotiated with HR, and finally we came up with career facilitator, which is a combination of coaching, advising, teaching, and assessment. They do all of that, and it was a way through our HR system in a grant-funded world to get a little more flexibility.
I'd also like to share that I would like to hear more about your grants throughout this presentation, so hopefully Nancy and I are not going to be talking all the time. I'd like to hear more about what you're doing, and I'm definitely interested in the online and the career coach who works on the online program and how they handle meeting with students and that.
So, simple agenda, what is, just to give you the context of what Fast Path is, and as Sue alluded, it's a program. You usually go out, you write a proposal, you plan it all, and then you find out if you get funding. Ours was really the reverse of that. There was a conversation with the mayor and our president. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what that is, what Keith's role is, and he has two colleagues. We have three career facilitators on Fast Path, and then what we're learning. We were 6 months underway, so we're still in the early stages of what we're doing.
It wasn't so long ago that Angela Brock dreamed of working in a hospital helping patients. Now she's doing just that at Nationwide Children's Hospital.
I would like to eventually get into a full-time position here and work towards my degree.
Angela was in the first class of Fast Path graduates, funded by a $1.5 million grant from the City of Columbus. Fast Path helps train students in just a few weeks in one of four career tracks, and it doesn't cost them a cent.
I think it's really needed, just being this single mom, with enormous amount of school loans, So that too was important to me because I wasn't able to just financially go back to school, so it worked out well.
Angela was in the STNA track. That stands for State Tested Nursing Assistant. It teaches the fundamentals of patient care.
I'm going to roll you towards your left side, okay?
The STNA certification is a recognized credential and stepping stone to healthcare careers. Students in a recent class heard from another graduate of the program, Ophelia Washington. She's now working at Children's Hospital full-time.
There are a lot of people who may be looking for work or may be looking to change careers, and it's a stepping stone. It's quick, it's fast, you can get through it, get what you need, hands on what you need, and get right into the marketplace.
Nationwide Children's Hospital was a pilot employer for the Fast Path program and provided support during the first graduation ceremony.
The neighborhoods are the best predictor of the health of our families. And to have healthy neighborhoods, we have to have well-trained and educated parents who are working successfully in the community. So it is not going to be enough for healthcare institutions to build big towers. We have to be out there working with our partners and making things happen in the community.
I don't call these kinds of ceremonies graduation ceremonies. These are commencement ceremonies. Graduation is an end. Commencement is a beginning. So you need to look at today as a beginning.
In addition to the patient care track with its STNA certification, there are three other options. Building Services provides an OSHA certification and teaches students how to maintain floors in a janitorial setting. Logistics students earn a CLA, or Certified Logistics Associate. They learn what's involved in receiving, packing, shipping, and processing orders. And there's Food Services, where students earn a ServSafe certification, an industry standard in food preparation and safety. That's the track Brian Miller took.
I was really excited because it's like, it's my dream to become a fully qualified chef. So I figured this would be a leg up.
Brian
wanted to work as a hot chicken baker.
We found out about FastPath and jumped in full
to social enterprise, yeah, guys.
It's a great program. If you are interested in the food services, like, say you want to become a chef, or if you just want to get a leg up in whatever restaurant you're working at, I'd say that this is the program for you because it teaches you a lot of valuable things.
His employer was on board as well.
Well, it gives people an opportunity to move up quickly in restaurants. When Brian went through the Fast Path program, he got the credential being ServSafe certified. So it gave him confidence of knowledge about food and food safety. So we were able to give him a pay raise because he's definitely working a lot better in the kitchen already.
The Fast Path program is fast becoming a new way for unemployed and underemployed residents in Columbus to retool their careers and their lives.
I would just try to encourage people to, you know, change your mindset and broaden your horizons and just step out there on faith. I would tell them to take a chance because if I could do it, anybody could do it.
Celia is one of our biggest successes because she was in the shelter, and now she's planning on moving out of that after getting work full-time.
So, and it isn't just the healthcare that, we'll get into that. So the Fast Path is a program to identify, recruit, and connect unemployed and underemployed adults. And it was it came about through a conversation with our mayor, who has been in office for almost 16 years, and our president. And they're toasting here, but it's actually from a fundraiser we had, but we thought it was a good picture to toast. Fast Path. The mayor granted us $1.5 million to do this. And right now it's a one-year grant, and that's our biggest concern because we're just going to figure out how to make this work in a year, and then we're hoping to secure additional funds because we're learning now, and to really make it work, we're going to need additional time. But. So the key principles for the designing Fast Path were, this is a job training program, and it's non-credit training, it's short-term, all the programs are 4 to 5 weeks long for in-demand occupations. There had to be jobs available, not just training for training's sake. in the trainings embedded a credential, something of value that the employer values and something that's portable for the participant, that they could go to multiple employers and have it be a value. It is entry-level employment, but with that credential, there's a pathway, career-wise and education-wise. So it's our hope, while this is non-credit training, if they come back to the college, we'll be able to grant them credit for that to help give them a leg up to move forward. We already have agreement from the Health and Human Services Dean that if the STNAs come back, we've just repackaged what we do with an STNA. He will grant them the 3 hours credit if they choose to come back and continue. And finally, having committed employers at the table that work with us on the design, delivery, and hiring of the graduates of the program. Nationwide Children's took the lead in that. They are not the only employer we're working with. So the short-term customized training, there's the technical piece certainly. There's also employability skills, and this is what we hear most from employers, that you know, we need people that can show up on time, work with others, attendance. I mean, what we all think is very basic skills, those are things we drill, we really work on with them, along with the interviewing, resume prep, et cetera. And then the case management, the support services, both helping them navigate the barriers in their life.
So the program is required 100% attendance dealing with, because they have so many hours to complete to receive their certification. And then they also have 2 days of clinical within that track as well.
And it's interesting working with our partners and even our funder when we talk about 100% attendance. They're like, oh, you can't expect that. It's like, that's what the employer expects. So we are setting the program to model and reflect what the employer expects. And even, I mean, the city council person who was at our latest stakeholder meeting was, well, what if they get sick? We'll work with them, and if they need to come back to the program. It's just the social service community is just, they don't think in the hard terms that an employer thinks of them. And so we're trying to model the requirements of employment. We do have 4 tracks, and the patient care, the building services or floor care, food services and logistics, and those are the STNA, the OSHA 10, and the ServSafe and CLA. Those are the credentials that are embedded in the program. Employability skills, this is working with them, helping. A lot of these folks have had various jobs or life experiences, but they don't see themselves as having skills. So it's helping them understand, what have you done at church? What have you done in the community? What have you done in childcare? How do you take what you have done in life, put a name to it, and translate that for a resume? Resume writing, interview preparation, the mock interviews, we bring the second day of resume preparation, we bring employers in and have an afternoon, and they do rounds with 4 to 5 different employers practicing those skills. And, you know, the smart employers are there because they're looking for talent. They're cherry picking. They know they're going to come back to the job fair and seek out who they want. But it really helps the participants build their confidence in that. Some of the employer applications, as you know, are really lengthy and long. Nationwide Children's, in particular, we sit down and walk the participants through on the application because it's so long and cumbersome. And then retention skills. Once they get the job, how do you keep the job? The first 30 days and what's so important on that. Then the case management, addressing barriers. Just basic food, clothing, shelter, child care, transportation, medical, and dental. Ophelia had a tooth that was kind of like bang-like, and she got connected with someone, a community resource, and they pulled that for her. Totally changed her appearance. But simple things like that helping the participants navigate and find the resources so they can best present themselves and have the confidence to present themselves. Even things like hygiene. So employers were engaged in the design, delivery, and hiring. Nationwide was the lead. We sat down with them and said, what are the entry-level positions you have trouble filling? And that's when we came up with the patient care, the floor care technician, and food services. Those are regular hiring positions, entry level, that they have ongoing needs for, and we knew we'd have a connection for jobs. Just an aside on the floor care, we've gotten pushback from our credit and college colleagues, like, what are we getting into janitorial services for? It does link to a path in building services in the trades, and it was the employer asked for it. And that's where we kind of navigate our role with the community, the employer, and our credit colleagues who are, you know, is this college? It's like, this is pre-college, and this is a job training program. And so helping navigate that is part of what we do. We have 25 other employers involved. They've reviewed the curriculum. They give us feedback in the food services program, for instance. That one of them said, well, you know, so often we need cash handling. Is that part of your curriculum? No, it's not. Great idea. And so we went out, looked for a curriculum, couldn't find it. We have a cashier's office, so we called the cashier's office and said, hey, would you guys come train some of you for this program? So we have our cashier's office involved in the training now, and which they were very excited about for the second round of the food services program. They do employers do clinical and work practice sites. For the STNA, we have a nursing home that they go to for two sites, and then in the food services, we have on-site practice sites where they go and prepare food as three different days in the curriculum. And then, of course, job placement.
Nancy?
Uh-huh.
What does STNA stand for?
State Tested Nursing Assistant.
Okay, so they are CNA.
Okay. CNA, yes.
Okay.
Yep, and yes.
And are you going to talk about any kind of screening in terms of who's eligible for
yep.
the program?
Yep.
That'd be mine.
I was trying to get, sorry.
Yep. So, again, these were the first three tracks that Nationwide identified as what they needed and regular. And then for us, in helping the participants see something bigger, where does this lead? Yes, these are entry-level jobs. You can see the average wages aren't very high. And the folks that have gotten jobs are placing anywhere from $10 an hour to $11.75 is what Nationwide Children's is paying. So, again, not living wages, really. And now with Nationwide Children's, both of those employees have benefits. Even though Angela is only working 20 hours there, that's their cutoff. You have 20 hours and you have benefits. So both of them are receiving full-time or healthcare benefits, which is huge.
And did all the employers agree to that?
To
offering benefits as part of this package? Because,
yes.
You know, that's the big thing with a lot of these entry-level positions.
Yep.
They're constantly moving because they don't have enough.
Right. Absolutely. It's not a prereq. Now, that's why Nationwide is one of the, I mean, they're sort of the gold standard we're looking for, and we're trying to engage some of the other hospitals now, and that's why I was very curious how they did their consortium, because we're trying to find our way into the other hospitals, and it's slow progress.
And we have the same issue with food services. We're doing a roundtable on restaurant retail, same kind of situation.
Yep. Now, interesting fact, hot chicken takeover. So Joe DeLoss is the owner. He's a young social entrepreneur in town. And he put in our first cohort three students in. Now, the hospitals, as you'll see in our criteria, we don't take backgrounds. The hospitals won't take people with backgrounds. We have a big issue in our community because we got lots of people with backgrounds that can't get jobs. Joe sent us three people. They all had backgrounds. And he said, is this okay? And I said, you're the employer. Is it okay? If it's okay with you, it's okay with us. Our criteria are established on what does the employer want, because we have to find people jobs. So Joe's like, yeah, this is part of my mission, is to bring these people, you know, move them on ahead. Well, then we did drug tests, and all three came up dirty. So he said, Joe, what do you want us to do? And he's like, you talk to them, I'll talk to them, keep them in the program, I'll test them again when it's over. So of his three, one we eventually kicked out for attitude. Called Joe, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was causing problems. And it's like, distracting the rest of the class. He's like, got it. You know, you need to do what you need to do. So we removed him. Two completed. Joe hired him, and Brian's one of them. The other one, Brandon, 3 weeks into employment, drug tests, dirty. Joe let him go. So again, it's, you know, it's like darn on our stats, but because we're job placement and retention, but again, we're working with employer. What does the employer want? So
can I go back just a couple?
Sure.
Because
sure.
I think I'm in, who pays for the student to actually go through this? Is that part of the grant?
Yep.
So the student doesn't pay anything, and the employer doesn't pay.
No.
It all comes out of the grant.
Okay. All comes out of the grant.
Okay.
Yep.
And can they get unemployment while they're in the program?
Yes.
Or other kind of assistance?
Yes.
These aren't the only career tracks they can have, and we wanted to demonstrate to the participants, if I get an STNA or patient care, where can this lead? So these were examples to them with continued education, and we're community college, and while this is a credit training, we'd love to see them come back and get some success, get some earning power, and actually we have a few that are currently students at Columbus State. The majority are not.
So to me.
Yeah, well, and I just want to say, I want to cut you off here for just a second. This is the glue that makes the program work. I mean, the employability skills, the case management stuff, Keith, Gail, Janet, they're the ones that make it happen, that tie it all together. And we don't just teach the employability skills in class, they live them. Like, the second STNA class, the first week, we work very closely with the faculty, and if they tell us, you know, they're not getting this timeliness thing, we're in class coaching and talking about it, making it real. So the first week of the second STNA class, we were having some issues. So we removed one person who was the biggest offender, and then the coaches went in and had what I call a come Jesus conversation. It's like, this is an employment training program. It depends on you being on time and really kind of threw down the gauntlet and said, if this doesn't get better, you will be out. So they're not just talking about these skills, they're living them and coaching it the whole way through. So with that...
Yes, I wanted to also look at the previous slides. They did have that career pathway that we were talking about earlier, so... I thought that was good to mention that.
Yeah.
All right, so the role of the career coach, of course, starts with building rapport and trust. I don't know what you all think. So what do you think? Is that the first step in working with students? Okay. With my background in counseling, I utilize a lot of my counseling skills, listening, making sure that I'm there with them, and that I'm present, I'm genuine, I'm meeting them at their own level, and that they know when I should address certain issues and not. It's kind of like an art and a science. So I thought I'd go around the room and see, what do you think is your rapport building trust? How do you do it with your students?
You want me to go?
Sure.
Well, if I was a counselor or a coach, easy for me is to develop the relationship, to really understand that individual.
Right.
And like you said, meet them at there and just show compassion and empathy. And then go from there to the necessary steps.
Okay.
Good. Listening.
Right.
And getting the story. Getting their story.
Okay.
And I am online, or we are an online program, but we have a lot that are still in Cheyenne. So sometimes they're in our office, but most of the time it is a lot of those phone calls up front that kind of establish that rapport and that trust. And that, depending on their personality.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of what they said, but just kind of that continual contact with them. Them knowing that you're not going anywhere.
So, and I agree with all them, but I always, I know the first time that I have them in my, I have the advantage of not being completely online. All my students are hybrid. So 75% is online, but 25% is in the classroom for labs and stuff. And so I have the advantage of being able to meet with every one of them. And in fact, they're mandated to, which really they kind of feel ugh at first. But after they're there and we're sitting and I'm talking, I make sure that they know there's a reason to come back. I have something to offer them and stuff. Then I have a great response of getting people to come back to me. But then also making sure I always follow up. If I say I'm going to check on something and get back with them, otherwise, you know, lost them. If it's, yeah.
Okay, good.
I think like what Christy said, listening first. Just, and it, sometimes they don't want to talk. They just want you to tell them what they're supposed to know and then go do whatever they want. But, you know, if they aren't willing to talk, it's asking those questions and finding out about who they are and what their life circumstances are, you know, just getting their story.
Well, and that's something you were talking about, the shift for them coming out of...
Yes, well, working with, you know, Jobs and Family Services or other agencies where they're basically going through the processes of, you know, getting their food stamps or things of that nature.
Where they're told everything.
They're told what to do, so allowing them to make those decisions on their own and giving them that power back to them a little bit. And what about you, Heidi?
All of the above, and I think more. I think everything is so techy that the follow up is huge, because people don't. You either leave a voicemail and it's a couple days, or an email and it gets lost, and so just tracking all of that and making sure you followed up and responded to questions, and then. Pretty soon, a few emails or calls later, they'll be like, well, this is what's really going on, you know, because it's kind of like they don't want you to leave.
Right. That's good. Well, that reminds me of a couple of my cases. We have Roger, who's currently in our food services. He's a 50-year-old Caucasian male, and I thought when he first came in, he has some hygiene issues. So instead of, like you were saying, listen to their stories, you know, I didn't come out and say, you know, we need to fix this. Found out, you know, that he was both physically and emotionally abused throughout his childhood. He's been told that he was nothing and has been homeless most of his life. So he's now, thanks to our partner, Mount Carmel, one of our hospital's systems, recommended him through our program. And he's been able to go through the food services, starting that out. And I've been gently coaching him towards that hygiene, letting him know the importance of it, of course, in food service. So that's one of our success stories right now happening, and he should be finishing up pretty soon. Natalie's another one I worked with in our STNA program. She was in her, she's in her mid-30s, African-American female, and she could tell, well, she had a gruff personality. She was tough on the outside, but soft on the inside. She's very sensitive. So at one point she thought one of our instructors was not paying attention to her, not listening to her. So I had to coach her on that aspect and have them work out a dialogue with one another to work that out. And that, in the end, she comes to me a lot more now. And I think she has that trust. And she graduated, got her STNA. She's working at Summits Trace. And she is promoting our program there. So I am getting phone calls stating, you know, Natalie told me. So we do have an enrollment and an eligibility and suitability. So you were asking about who's eligible and suitable. Currently, we do have 3.7 in unemployment, so pretty low. However, in certain areas, Nationwide Children's is one of the main zip code areas where it's located, where poverty levels is doubled. So what they're looking for, so what we work with, the individuals, are a challenge. They're not work ready. they've gone through a lot of, they're in a lot of transitions in their life. So the eligibility and suitability, as you can see here.
Well, and there's This is the packet that we use with, that we follow. It's a checklist, and that we work with our community and workforce partners. It starts out, dear Fast Path partner. I know we gave you a lot of paper, but we wanted to share with you some of the tools we're using. So this is the actual packet we've given to our partners to help. As a community-based program, we're trying to work through the network of community and community partners and workforce partners to help us with recruitment. As you'll see, it's not quite going as we planned yet, but anyway.
Yes, and as we're progressing through the eligibility, one of the requirements is they do have to be a resident of Columbus. I think that has actually hindered a little bit on our recruitment side because that's a really small portion of the population that we're trying to recruit. But that is one of the guidelines of the grant. 18 years or older, high school diploma or GED, and we do TAFE them. We give them the test for adult basic education. We have looked at case by case if they're in the 7th to 8th grade range and have allowed to give them an opportunity to come in. STNA is probably the one program where we really focus on that 9th grade proficiency level. And then we do have them do a background check and drug screen. We've been no felonies for the STNA program. The other suitability piece is we partner a lot with our workforce partners. So you probably can relate to all of that, working with our WIBs. And what we're looking for, of course, is on that side, some of it is pretty black or white, customer service certificate or recommendation, but then some of it is in the gray there with the readiness to adhere and that motivation to work. So if you have ideas you want to share with us on how you screen out individuals who have that, you know, that they don't have that motivation, do you have any ideas? Anybody want to share?
They're a quiet group.
I noticed.
Well, screening, I'm the big mouth. Thank you,
LaBeouf. She's here.
That's why.
So for screening out,
we have to make sure that they are, for our programs at OJC, we have to make sure that they are able to read at a collegiate level. So we do an ACCUPACER or college entrance exam. We also do background checks for all of our allied health programs, the CHEO ones and the other ones, even as down to the certified nursing assistant or the STNA, depending on which stage you're in, and stuff. But some of the other stuff, we can't screen out for motivation to work because of being open enrollment. We're mandated to take whoever walks in the door and stuff. But as far as getting into the program, those are really the only two ways we have of screening out. We do have a very strict attendance policy, and on the second absence, I'm sorry that you don't meet the requirements because we have so many clinical hours and stuff that are required. But those are really the only ways we have to do.
And even if somebody's not suitable yet, it's not a final no-no.
Right.
It's just like, you know, this is what we're seeing.
Are you moldable?
Yes, and you know, maybe our next cohort starts, you know, next month. Let's continue to talk. We rarely give a hard no, but because we're being held accountable for replacement, if we know they're not ready to get a job, that's where we have to be.
So you have the advantage because you're paying for them out of your grant.
Right.
Yes. Since ours have to pay for themselves, we really are limited on some of those. How are you guys planning on sustaining this program after it's...
That's a great question. I know at this point in the mayor's budget for this next year, we have $350,000. $1.5 million is hard to spend in a year.
She's the talker and the spinner.
Scandalous, yes.
You know, I'm signing off on a lot of invoices, trust me. And
it is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And, you know, trying to tell them up front, you know, I'm not saying no, and we could do this over 2 years, but the way the city government budgets stuff, so I'm already in conversations about, well, what about a no-cost extension on the 1.5? And I've got agreement, I think, from the city for that. We are starting to look at other funding sources, and, you know, again, hearing from this morning that the employers are paying, that's huge. That is huge, that they are seeing the value of what you all bring, and what these projects bring to help people. And the other piece with Nationwide, they have a commitment to the neighborhood, and they want to, they say they want to hire from their neighborhood. We'll share with some of our lessons learned how that's really playing out.
Can I pick up on that for just a second? The screening out has to be in ninth grade, and I'm speaking from another hat in terms of Colorado just revamped their whole developmental ed, which is called remedial education in some places, wherever. And in that process, they've eliminated the lowest level in terms of access even to the developmental ed. So
we're going there.
Okay, so the question I have is from some of these underserved, historically underserved communities, are you, if you find that the person doesn't have the skill at the ninth grade, are there opportunities for you to refer them to others so that they don't get constantly pushed away?
We also run a GED program that's part of, and we're taking, so it's a fee-for-service program, and if they meet all the eligibility requirements, we're putting them and paying for them in the GED track.
Okay.
So GED / remediation, because where you get the pushback, well, I have a high school diploma.
Right.
Yeah, and you're reading at a fifth grade level. And we need you to be, and, you know, that's a delicate conversation that these folks get to have.
And graduate students who did not know how to write a paper.
Yes, actually one of our students, she came to our pilot program back in September and scored in fifth grade reading level. She took the GED program, followed through with everything, attended class, and ended up retaping just recently, and she's at a 10th grade. So she's moving into our STNA class in March, at the end of March.
Okay, that's great.
And that's what we would be doing at our college level, or at college, to say you need to take some of these other classes before you really get it, because it's textbook, you know, you're looking at the real black and white stuff. But we also have them take a career readiness certificate, and we require a certain score level for that. And we will consistently say you can take English in college, but this career readiness certificate is really looking at how you do in the workplace.
Is that the ACT one, or if you got a,
it's ACT. ACT. So we ask that as part of the application process.
The NCRC?
It might be called that.
Yes, National Career Readiness.
It's called National Career Readiness Certificate, or case. So that's what we require. And it's something that they can take away and put that on their resume to say they have whatever standard. So.
I'm glad you're aware of that the textbook, because of what Gail's one of her caseload when she was sharing that she had to take the GED stated that nurses did not need to know how to read or write. So
who said
we had one of our case one of the on Gail's caseload. So
we have someone right now that we've been putting off because she has been, we think, an LPN in the past, doesn't have a lot of the transferable credits because they're so old. And scored really low in some certain areas, and we think she could pass it, but we keep saying when you get to these coding books, they're dry and heavy and not fun to read,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you might have had the experience, but you really need to get beefed up before we set you loose.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you can see, as they go through orientation, they also have an assessment called the Career Scope, and I gave you a copy, and this is actually one of our students. This really helps them, I think, boost their levels of confidence when you can actually show them they do have the skills and the aptitudes to do the program. I don't know how many...
It looks like assessment.
Yes.
I'm
not going to go into too much detail, but I don't know how many of you have ever heard of CareerScope. Okay. It's a really nice assessment. It's connected through ONET and the Guide for Occupational Exploration. So what you have first is you have his interest inventory, and this is actually a male, one of our graduates. And I you can see there's 26 pages, so I did not print all that for you. But it's a very, really a great assessment. It gets really into detail, in depth. As you can see, the first section, you go through and answer questions that you want to do. Direct a movie? Would you like to work with animals? and you had a choice of making either do a like or a dislike or a question mark, which is neutral. On the next page shows the results. Usually when I look at these, I look at the humanitarian, the scientific, and the protective areas, especially humanitarian. Next is an aptitude. So there is actual some skills on there. There's a mouse, working with the mouse. You have to click on certain elements to click on it really fast to show your coordination. There is some math computation and word problems. And then there's some spatial aptitude where you're looking at open boxes and how would they fold together to make that. As you can see, he scored very high as well. And then as you see through his recommendations starting out, they have this GED requirement and then this level of training, how much time it would take. And the charts are in the back if you want to look at those. I won't go into further much detail. If you see page 9, that's where it shows on the humanitarian side where it does show that he has that skill set and aptitude for nursing and also working with children and adults on the next page. And then we also provide a career action plan, so I was excited to hear Lauren talk about that because we have, as I just call it, the FUCAP. I added that to our Fast Path Career Action Plan. We created this, the three staff members and I created this to work with the students to know, you know, their eligibility to work. What are their limitations, their transportation? We have them sign it as a contract. We have them go through some different action steps. These are very basic with the population we work with, of course. Their most action steps is short-term, completing the program. Working on getting a resume, finding a job. So far, very few have looked at pursuing going furthering into the education part, but they do have that interest. But their main goal, of course, is employment and work.
So is this at all boosted the enrollment at, other than maybe one or two, has it really boosted the enrollment at Columbus? I mean, are you getting significant number that want to continue with their education, or are they pretty much,
you know, we're
going into that entry level and they're satisfied because they're
we're only six months into this.
Yeah.
So that, and we actually have a couple that are current Columbus State students who need work, so that they're going to school and they're doing just both, right? So that we haven't been able to test that yet. We hope
we had one story, success story, but I'm going to share with that later. And unfortunately, it became a success, then not so much. So I'm going to discuss that. Of course, we assist with barriers, and one of our case works loads is Vicky. She's in her mid-50s. She's a Caucasian. Her story basically is she was living with her boyfriend and their two kids, and he left her with the two kids, and she was stuck in a house that he was renting. So all of the utilities and everything was in his name. So the water was shut off, the utilities were all shut off, and she had nowhere to go. She was still able to live there. Unfortunately, the house was sold, and the owner came and told her that she had to leave. So actually, she went through all of those agencies and referrals. So we basically took her, or suggested she go to legal aid. We have a legal aid society that she go there, and they learned about her rights as a tenant there. We helped her get interview clothes. We helped her with transportation with bus passes each day. The utilities, we were able to get her heat on. Unfortunately, she found a way to work on getting her water. But basically, what she did every day was go to her neighbor's house to take a shower and then get a gallon of water and take it back to her bathroom to flush the toilet with that gallon of water.
And she was in class every day.
And early.
Motivated to work. So, I mean, when you hear some of the stories and then you look at somebody like that, you realize, okay, how do we advocate for this person to really move her life forward?
And that's what we did during the job fair. Her caseworker, Gail, talked to the employer. She didn't go into specifics like I just did, but she just shared that she's going through a lot of transitions, but this woman would be there every day on time and ready to do her job. And that's how we advocate with the employers. We also do, of course, the interviewing prep, and we talked about that. Career advising, we have Danielle, who's in her mid-30s, and she's a Navy veteran. Recently went through our STNA, graduated, passed her STNA. While during our mock interviews, and that's why I brought that up, Kristen, our mock interviews, Nationwide Children's had her scheduled for an interview. So she was halfway through our program, and they already liked her. She has two offers there. One as an STNA, the other one as a supervisor for housekeeping. It's a lot more money to actually involved. And then she's had three or four other offers as well. So Gail has been meeting with her. They've been doing what she's called decision trees and see which is the best track for her, because her, of course, is really wanting to work.
And this is where, I mean, again, the role of the career coach facilitator. Here's somebody who had a successful career in the military. Once she was out of that structure, didn't know how to function, and her life was sort of spiraling down. And so getting back into this program has helped create some structure for her, get some direction, and working with a coach has helping her learn how to build some of these skills herself without them being imposed.
Then we have Robert for job placement and coaching. So this was our success, but yet not so successful. He was a 19-year-old gentleman, and that's actually his career scope you're looking at. Went through our program, graduated. He was the first one hired out of our program at Whetstone Gardens and Care Center. Every time I talked to him, he said, how's it going? I was doing his follow-up. And he's like, great. Everything's great. He also started attending Columbus State to get into the nursing program. Everything's great. So one day he shows up at my office to let me know that he walked out at Whetstone because of he was burnout and there was a negative work environment. Then he shared with me something happened at Columbus State, and I'm still unsure what happened, but now he's no longer taking classes there. So I had a coach camp with him and talked to him about what better choices could he have done. Robert is...
He's 19 years old.
Yes.
So he's learning life.
He also has a family that's kind of not very supportive. So
dysfunctional.
They're preventative.
And I think a lot of us probably all live middle-class lives. And so thinking with that lower class, but not thinking with it, but understanding that culture is such an important thing. And it's so hard. There's time and again that my boss and I have gone, oh, you know what, we're thinking with our middle-class hats.
Right.
And how that is so different. And probably for him, it was too much to think of all those things.
Well, yes. And it's that, you know, the family situation is they have expectations on him. They, you know, they came to graduation, and yet there's this kind of push-pull. Do they really want him to succeed is what we're seeing. And he keeps getting sucked back into that stuff. And yet he's been, you know, was a great student, first one employed. The employer said, we'll take him back anytime he's ready to come back.
Yes, he said that's rare for that employer.
So, lots of times culture plays into that, just because I remember I had a student that no matter how hard I worked and how far I got him going, and this is more at a high school level, that once the family needed something,
right.
It didn't matter
right.
what he was doing in the school or what kind of money, you had to be there for the family, end of discussion and stuff. And that probably goes back with this, whether it's lower class or whatever, but it's definitely a cultural thing as well.
Yes.
And that's a tough thing to work
Ruby
with
Ruby Payne's work, yeah. That's.
If you guys have never gone through that, like a day-long training, that'd be a really excellent thing to go through as career coaches.
Yeah. It really takes the judgment out of some of the decisions that are made. And while you don't always agree, you often don't agree with the decisions, you understand from where the decisions are being made.
Yes, he's currently in Urbana, Ohio, and we're trying to find him employment there.
About 30 miles from Columbus, so...
That was another thing. He said he had to move there quickly, unfortunately, and trying to still he still has those goals in mind, though.
So some of the things we're learning, you talk about recruitment. Well, we set this up. The money's from the city. The city gives money to other partners. They wanted us to play well with others, particularly our workforce investment board. The WIB wondered why they didn't get the money. There was some politics and negotiation going on. So what we really went out to the community and said, we need help. We promoted, we developed FastPath. You have the flyer explaining the program, looking to help. There's a lot of work readiness programs in the community that don't have that technical piece. So who are the people going through those programs? Can we now connect them to some technical training that can move them into a job? On the back of the flyer are listed all the workforce partners that do some work readiness programming. They do TAFE tests. They have GED programs. So are they far enough along? We were hoping to tap that to help us recruit, assess, and get people started on their career plan. Well, all great. The model makes sense, but in reality, it's not. We're still getting the engine turning and 6 months into it. We should have recruited 92 at this point based on what we said we would do. We have recruited 45, enrolled 45. So we're behind the eight ball here as far as the numbers. I mean, we've walked the stakeholders through the stories. We had a stakeholder meeting 2 weeks ago, and we explained, they want to know where we are, and talking to the city and the city council members and nationwide, and telling them some of the story, the Roberts. So first of all, it's getting people in the program and just getting the word out and reaching out. So that had been a challenge, but also getting people through. When they hear the stories, there's more understanding. But when they just look at the numbers, they're like, what's wrong with the program?
Can I just go back to
sure.
The recruitment bill? I mean, this is something that we're seeing across all grants, that people think that they'll, and I'm not saying you, but
mm-hmm.
one yep. thinks, and I know from being a grant writer in another life, one thinks that you'll get the funder's attention if you show that you're going to have, 100 people. And so the question I always ask is, where are your numbers in terms of your goals? Because it's better to go over your goals than to go under your goals. So the question I have is, how did you come up with the 92? What was that based on?
Well, it was based on the, I've got it on another sheet, the number of cohorts that we plan to run,
okay.
recruiting for those, and then at each point, so we would recruit this many, enroll this many, 75% would complete, and 75% of those would graduate. Don't remember the
it was based on the capacity for a CTN that you have?
Yeah, part of it was capacity.
Okay.
And interestingly now, so it's...
I'm
just thinking in terms of, this is going back to the workforce, if in fact the workforce center says I have 10 people, so you show 10, and then of course you have 21, it looks so much better than if you say 32.
Well, right? My boss wouldn't accept that.
Okay.
I did a logical, this is how many cohorts we'll run, this is how many we can have in each cohort, this is how many 75% will complete, and of those 75% will place. That ended up to 140. So we're halfway through, and at the end, we have said our goal was to place 140. My boss, the president, is saying that's not high enough. They're giving us $1.5 million. That's not high enough. Now, the president of Nationwide Children's, who recognizes they're on the hook to hire them, that number's way too high. So that's the only thing that saved me from that 140 being higher. Because my boss was like, Nancy, this isn't high enough. And it's like, he's got the heart for the work and the intention, and he doesn't understand what it takes to get this population into jobs. And so...
I applaud what you've done, and I'm just thinking that
yeah.
all of us, as we're even talking about sustainability, what are the numbers that we want that are fair. And then, of course, you have the CEO wanting to show the big
and the mayor that. Wanting to say,
right.
You know, I was sharing at lunch. So Ophelia is I mean, we're thrilled. She's a delightful person. As she did everything we asked, and she's the one living in the shelter. And, you know, you wake up every morning, and, well, I look at my blessed life, and, like, yet she's in class every day doing everything, and, you know, are we proud? Are we motivated and inspired by her? Absolutely. And, you know, one of the employers from the hospital said, gosh, doesn't that make this all worthwhile? And I said, on a spiritual level, on a soul level, yes. But for the mayor, to look the mayor in the eye and say, yeah, I got Ophelia a job. Better, I gave Ophelia $1.5 million, you know? But that's the struggle here of what feels good, but the reality of what, you know, the mayor's accountable to the taxpayers. He wants to demonstrate that he made a good investment here. And yet, you can't make up for all the stuff you're dealing with in, you know, we're trying to do it in 4 or 5 weeks. Concentrated time, and we're staying with them beyond the training time. But. So, I'm not going to play the video from Dr. Kelleher again. It was a longer clip than was in our video, but he's talking about the neighborhood and the desire to hire from the neighborhood and improve them, the statistics of who they hire from the neighborhood. Well, what we're learning is well, the first big learning, and how are we doing?
I was just curious how many slides?
5 minutes? Well, this is the last slide.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So our first big was we finished training on November 24th, or graduation was November 24th, and Nationwide's at the table there. They came to mock interviews. They came to the job fair, and we learned that they interviewed some folks and then told Ophelia and told Angela and told 3 or 4 other. They interviewed 5 different ones from our class. We're not hiring right now. Of course, that word got back to us, and I've got a contact on the hospital side. I pick up the phone. I'm like, Jesse, this is what they're telling folks. And turns out they hire in cycles, and the next cycle started December 1st. We just missed it. Well, no one told us that that's how they hire. And we didn't think to ask, do you hire in cycles? So it was a very painful first lesson in working with a big organization. So, but it also was how, I mean, we've had people at their staff, their hiring staff, at mock interviews. We've had them at job fairs, and this has never been related to us. So you got the people at the top espousing this vision that we want to hire from the neighborhood, we want to work with these people and bring them in, and then you got the front line who are being held accountable for hiring good workers that are skilled, that won't be, you know, they're trying to avoid turnover, and they're looking at this with a little bit of like, you know, who are these folks? Are, you know, we don't quite have the buy-in yet from the front line. So that's where, and we're having conversations here to try and they realize they've got work to do in the hospital. We've got work to do to build that credibility. We've got to send them good candidates, and that doesn't happen overnight. Now, the case that we want to share with you is Tatiana. You've got her resume. Tatiana is just graduated last Wednesday from our STNA class. 21 years old, and this is her resume. Glance at it real quickly. So she applied for Nationwide and got the response back that no, we're not interested. I called and said, okay, help us understand, where did we fall short here with Tatiana? The next page there's an email from Marcy McDonald and halfway down through. Unstable work history. So they looked at this. So she went in, we've circumvented the system. This resume goes into an electronic system, and 2/3 of the resumes in the Nationwide Children's Hospital never see a human eye. Okay? So first off, we're up against that. So I sent an email, say, hey, Marcy, have someone coming your way, Tatiana. Marcy sends it to the frontline staff. They take a look at the resume and out of hand, unstable work history. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The problem is she's a 21-year-old who's in college. What do you do when you go to this during summertime? You get work, mm-hmm. and then you go back to school.
So where they've said unstable job history, the flip side is the response. I had the career facilitator talk to them. Like, because we think Tatiana is one of the top people in our class this second round. And write up and explain why this looked like unstable job history. These are internships. That a 21-year-old has this much work history, we're thrilled. And she lives in the target neighborhood. She lives in the footprint of Nationwide Children's, who they said they want to hire. So, hey, can we look at this again? Well, she was our graduation speaker, and I just wanted to read you a couple things from her. We conduct a graduation at the end of each cohort, and I enrolled myself as a full-time student here at Columbus State, and in October decided to seek out some help and went to COET, our workforce partner, which, okay, process is working, coming from the community, yay. I looked at my environment, which is an at-risk community where houses are boarded up and police chase you down the street if you look suspicious because you're racing down the street with your siblings. I looked at it all and I thought, I'm never going to get out of here. I felt like I was trapped, that I would become a statistic, one that was commonly viewed in a negative light. FastPath has allowed me to meet some great people. I was able to have classmates who always worked as a team and looked out for one another. Instructors who took the time to give me extra help. During clinicals, we were all so excited. What we had learned in the classroom was about to be applied to the real world. By the time the second clinical rolled around, we were professionals. I mean, just the confidence in that statement of 2 days on the job and like, hey, man, I'm a professional, coming from someone who didn't see a future for herself. And that's so... We advocated for her to get an interview, and she, in fact, they are going to interview her now. But that's the kind of partnership we have with, like, hey, I know she doesn't meet your criteria, you know, she doesn't have 5 years of experience yet. And if you're going to live up to your vision of hiring from the neighborhood, it's going to take stretching your boundaries a bit. So the very last thing... is another email. This was it says interview confirmation at the top. And so Danielle, who Keith told you about, that's getting the two interviews, she's in the emergency room and also the supervisory position, they sent her this confirmation. Well, two things I want to point out. Our folks don't have computers. They have phones, if that. So this big message showed up on a phone. It was a big blob, hard to read. When they sent it to me, I went through and separated in paragraphs so I could read it. And it's all about where to park your car and how to get a parking pass. Our folks ride the bus. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, Nationwide Children's, understand where you're coming from and how do we help. You can, that's fine. Some people are going to have a car. But can we also give instructions for people who ride the bus? So how do we bring these two worlds together that say we want to do this and yet help the people that they're saying they want to help? So those are just some of the things we're trying to navigate and learn and work. And Nationwide is trying to be, I mean, they realize they've got their own things to work on here to make this work. So anyway.
Thank you.
That's FastPath.